Thank you for listening to this week's episode of A Crack in the Plan. My name is Jordan, your host and Dungeon Master for this original Dungeons & Dragons adventure. This week's episode is called Within the Rose. So you've escaped onto the boat. You've made it aboard the Light of the Stars. It's a little bit smaller than Henrietta's Lament, by about 60 or 80 feet smaller. And so there's actually a small time jump. It's only about an hour. But you guys have been, you've been on the boat for about an hour now. And, you've made it out of, you're still in the fjord, but you're on your way to open sea. okay. So.
No.
Yeah.
Don't laugh like that.
In that first hour, where do you find yourself? It's a very similar layout to the boat you were just on. The exception is that this doesn't have a gun deck. It has a second deck that it is officers' quarters. But most of the kids are here. Mykos and Sekizen and a few of the other monks. They've made sleeping arrangements for the kids.
Is his face still doing that thing?
Yeah, his face still shifts.
Oh, okay. So I'm like going over, like, I want to ask him, like, do we need to like hide these kids, or are they like gonna stay below deck, and like do we like put them in like barrels and put fish over them or something, or like what?
No, there are guests on the ship.
So they're just gonna be running around the ship the whole time?
I mean, we will probably keep them on this deck.
Okay.
But now it's time for them to get some sleep.
Okay.
So it's probably time for, and he looks around, it's probably time for all of you to get some shut-eye.
We have a unusual sleeping situation. We kind of like sleep in a pocket dimension that I create kind of thing.
Okay.
So is there like a spot, like maybe to the corner somewhere I could... We have
an empty storeroom.
Okay.
That you can use.
That'll work.
It's 10 by 10.
That's perfect.
He kind of worries at kids these days.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Kids are the worst.
I want to ask him, what kind of threats are we looking for? Or, you know, do we need to be watching out for things, or is this typically a pretty safe trip?
Well, you just came in off of a boat. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you're aware of what dangers can lurk in and around the sea.
Yeah.
So general.
But nothing like, oh, we're on the typical pirate route, or you know, things like that, or
no. God, I hope not.
Okay.
Pirates. It's been many years since I've dealt with pirates.
Okay, good.
But, no, we should be relatively safe relative to being on the ocean.
Okay.
So, moderate security. Keep an eye out. Be vigilant, but... Yeah, get as much shut-eye as you can. We have a full week ahead of us. So, with that, he will turn, and as he's been speaking, like, not all of his facial shifts are as dramatic
mm-hmm.
as, like, he gets a brand new face. Sometimes it's, like, the nose, or the eyes will change colors, or he'll, like, his facial hair grows out a little bit, and then it retreats. it's odd. And he doesn't hold any face for very long. So. He will walk away. You hear the children sleeping. And Nevi, like, tugs on your robe. And she's like, do I have to sleep with the kids?
No.
Okay.
You're going to stay with us just like normal.
Cool.
We're going to go into that cool little dome thing.
Oh, okay.
Just do our normal sleeping.
Okay. So. you are able to find your way into that storeroom. There's a few water barrels in there that will need moved out, but otherwise.
Galen, Cathra, Amber.
Yeah.
Something stuck in my throat. I mean, Amber. Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay. So, roll a strength check. These things are heavy. They're 50-gallon water barrels.
22.
16.
Okay. So Gathra, you're able to like you roll it out really easily. Galen struggles a little bit.
I told you I was stronger than you.
Yeah, okay.
You need help?
No, I got it. Thank you.
Okay.
So she's able to get two out. Well, Galen gets one out. He's like, it's tight spaces, man. I can't move.
All right, so I'll go and I'll ritually cast Lehman's Tiny Hut.
Okay, so you cast the hut. Do you cast pizza, though?
Nope.
All right, no pizza.
No pizza tonight.
No pizza, all hut. I'm sorry. Pizza Hut, sponsor us, please.
Now, the question is it set down or is it down set?
No.
Down set hut.
Oh.
Two terrible jokes back to back. We're rolling 1,000. Batting 1,000.
Rolling 1,000. We're bowling. It's three and a half games. Rolling 1,000.
We're sports people.
We're bowling for soup, guys.
Bowling for soup. That's a throwback.
All right.
Bowling for pizza.
Yeah. So Nevi pretty quickly is out. She goes to sleep. You all start to look around and you realize Brolin's not with you. Like you don't remember seeing him come down.
Bracken. Where's your brother? Is Lyra around?
Lyra's here.
Lyra, have you seen him?
Not since we came on the boat.
I'll go find him, and I'm going to go.
Wasn't he still in bird shape?
No, he dropped that.
Okay.
I'm going to go look for him.
Okay.
He's probably doing that dolphin thing again.
I hear that, and like I kind of glance as I walk out. Like, what?
Nevi's like, dolphins. What?
Nevi's asleep.
Yeah. It's
she comes out of the sleep.
Dolphins? What, dolphins?
She thinks they're like cows or something.
Yeah, we need to have some.
He wasn't he a dolphin earlier? He was flying around.
Yes,
100%. Kind of that's what dolphins do, right? They fly.
Absolutely.
That's the podcast. That's the episode title. Don't dolphins fly?
Honestly,
if you throw them hard enough.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, sharks fly.
Yeah.
Anything flies if you throw it far enough.
Yeah. Sharknado. Yep. CR19.
I seen a horse fly. I seen a house fly. But I ain't never seen an elephant fly.
Oh, man.
Don't sue us, Disney.
Oh, God.
Was that Operation Dumbo Drop?
No, that's no. Dumbo.
Dumbo.
Oh, okay.
That's actually the actual Dumbo.
Actual Dumbo.
Please don't sue us. We can't afford it.
I'm sorry. Knowing the context of that, I don't know that they would want to bring a whole lot of attention to that particular clip.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So, Bracken, you go in search of Bracken.
Yep.
Brolin.
You found him.
You go in search of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to do that.
That's too much. Isn't that why we're on this journey to find ourselves?
Yep.
Yeah. So, if you go up top, roll perception for me, please.
No. Can I roll stealth just for fun?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
To find him?
No.
Okay. Wait. Oh, I haven't. Oh, it's probably gone, though. I said I'm inspired. But I don't think that's true. 9.
No. For which one? Stealth.
Is it for stealth?
Yes. No, it's not. No, it's for perception.
So you're looking around and you're like, he's not, what? Where is he? What? And in your head, you hear his voice. You hear, "Hey, hey, I'm up here." And you look up, and he's waving at you from the crow's nest.
I kind of yell up at him, "What are you doing?"
"I'm watching. Come join me."
Is Egan up there?
Okay. I have in my notes. He's hot. Okay. I'm going to go up. I'm going to climb up.
Okay.
Carefully.
Okay. So as you get about 30 or so feet away from him, and you hear him singing, which you have never heard him sing. The two lines you hear before you get to him, he says, "There were ripples in the water. I found them when you were young." And as you reach him, he scoots over and he's like, "Hey, it's small, but come on up."
All right. What are you looking for?
I don't know that I'm looking for anything. I'm just looking. You see he's in his hands. He's got this rock that he picked up from somewhere. And he's just playing with it. And he sits there and he's quiet for a good 15 minutes or so.
Is he playing with it? Like, is he fidgeting because he's nervous or like he's avoiding?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'll roll for it, but you can just give it to me if you want to.
No, he's nervous about something.
I kind of glance, but I don't say anything. I just kind of look out over the water.
As you are sailing, you're kind of both sitting there in relative silence. You do hear orders being called out across the boat. Not very lively, because it's, at this point, about 3 in the morning. He elbows you, and he says, he holds the rock. He says, "Bracken, what happens when you throw a rock this size into a puddle?"
"I mean, ripples happen."
"Yeah. But what about in a lake?"
"Smaller ripples."
"Or the ocean?"
"Smaller."
And he reaches back and you see him. He hurls this rock. Roll a strength check for me.
Oh, pfft.
For him.
Oh, okay. I was like, I'm going to hit myself in the face. No. For him, that's fine. Okay. This one. This is strength. It's better than mine. 14.
You watch it, or you kind of lose sight of it pretty quickly because you don't have dark vision. But you do, oddly enough, you do hear the little clink as it hits the water. Mm-hmm. And he turns to you and he says, "What do you remember about the day that I died?"
"All of it."
"Tell me."
"Why?"
"Because I don't remember you and Rakesh leaving that morning. I know what I did that morning, but before that, it's blank."
"I left early before you had woken up, and Brack hadn't left yet. I think he was making breakfast or trying to find something to feed you. I didn't know he had left until I got home. I'd done some jobs here and there, a couple for Black Watch. Could probably remember what they were if I tried, but when we got home, the house was dark, and it shouldn't have been. And I didn't hear anything, and you weren't exactly a quiet child. Prakash wasn't there. I called. No one answered. Stepped inside. The door was partially open. Kind of looked down at my hands. Got a few feet in, and then I noticed blood was everywhere. I started calling for you, and I couldn't find you, and then I went to the back little alcove, I guess, that we had sectioned off with some cloth we had stolen, and I pulled the curtain back. And you were just lying on the ground. I think I started screaming. Brett came in pretty quickly. He must have not been too far behind me. We started checking to see if you were... It was very clear... Very quickly, there was almost nothing left of you. But you weren't completely gone yet. You were trying to tell us something, but there was too much blood in your throat. And you tried to reach your hand out for us, but you didn't have the energy. It was only a few seconds before you... I don't remember much after that. A few days later, we tracked you out to the woods. Prakash cleaned you while I built your pyre.
I don't blame you for not knowing it wasn't actually me. You couldn't have known. The magic was too good. So when I woke up that day, I noticed you were gone. Your all your armor and all your knives were gone. Breck must have just left. The little bit of food we still had, you know, was warm. But I remember not eating it. I remember I walked out onto Holland Road. We were squatting in that house. And I walked out onto it, and I just made a block. And do you remember at the end there was the gnomish woman, the fruit vendor?
I do.
She hated me.
I mean, you stole 6 watermelons. Of course she hated you. But she was looking the other way, and I nicked a couple of plums. And I got back to the house, and I don't remember making it inside. That must have been when Kryn grabbed me. Because my vision, to my recollection, went black. I found this out later. But according to Eridir, that's when he showed up. He had to make the swap quickly. He took me away, put the simulacrum where my body should have been. I think all the blood was mine, probably. And all the time I spent with Eridir, I never saw him kill anyone, so. But he, he's got this, it's a pocket dimension. And he built a temple there. And the thing This is what I was nervous about telling you. I didn't actually die. The pocket dimension, he was able to sustain me. Just enough. It was life. I aged. That's why I'm older. So I came back. I'm not 11 or 10 or however old you remember me. But he was, something about the magic of that place was able to keep me alive. Enough that I was able to eventually, like, at least there heal a little bit. He always warned me that when I eventually left, that the magic holding me together basically at that point would end, and it would be as if I'm stepping back into that moment right before death, if I came back. And so I stayed, and I grew up, and he said he would only try to keep me there as long as it took him to get the components for a resurrection spell. When I was there, he had a small library of books. He taught me how to read, so that was cool. I learned a little bit more of, like, how to be a druid. And you can tell he's nervous to be telling you all this. Mm-hmm. I did learn how to kill. Eredir was mad when he found out. He tried to protect me from that, but there was a book, and I read it. But when I was there, he began to tell me some things about, about who he was, and about who our parents were. Did you know we knew him? Did I tell you that?
I've been told.
Mom and dad, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and Eredir saved their life, and he always felt responsible for them after that. But because it was a wrong place, wrong time thing, they got caught up in it by accident. And since they died, Eredir had been trying to track down their killer. And he had a bead on Kryn. And when he saw Kryn kill me, he did what he could in the moment. You guys weren't around. It's not your fault. But anyways, he told me those things, and when I got a little bit older, he told me that there was an order that he belonged to, that he had founded. People trying to chase down the thing that killed our parents. He said he thought that it was tied to some great evil, and that Kryn, who killed Mom and Dad, didn't you tell me that? Well, how did Rakesh die?
It was similar. We had both gone out and came back. There was more blood that time. Not all of it was his.
But anyways, he said that he asked me if I wanted to help. He wouldn't force me, and he wouldn't let me choose. And for months I thought about it. And I said sure. So then I actually started training me. Actually taught me how to do proper things. That's when I joined the Order. He's like, I know you don't like the Order, but here's another secret you're not gonna like. Kelrun's not actually in charge of it. I'm the second in command. It'll be mine one day. So that little smoke and mirrors show back in Astrakis was all. I mean, he's acting the part right now because he has to be. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is I want you to know the reason I'm back. And it is because of you. And it is because, well, according to Eridir, there's Prakesh did something to damn himself. And I don't know what it was, but I think I can save him.
What do you mean he did something?
We didn't get a lot of chance to talk about it because that's about the time that I came to you.
He knows where he is.
No. But he knows that he stumbled into whatever killed Mom and Dad, whatever killed me. Prakesh stumbled into it, got tied up in it, wrapped around it. And in Eridir's words, is damned until we fix it. So Eridir knew at some point that I would leave. And that's when he told me about something called a revenant. Well, I am a revenant now. But he said it could be my choice. I didn't have to go through with it. And he was able to manipulate some of the magic involved. Typically, revenants only live a year. I'm gonna live longer than that. He made sure of it. But when I came out of that pocket dimension, I died within a minute. And I came back a couple of days later. And then the next thing I knew, I was summoned to you. That's where we are with things. And I didn't want to not tell you, but I didn't know how. And then today we were walking around with Dindal, Lyra and I were. And somebody from Lyra's past called her by a different name and upset her quite a bit. And the counsel she gave me was that you have the right to know. And you do. I didn't say anything because I was scared, and I'm sorry.
You're not staying long, are you? After this is done. You'll go back.
No. No. Because I have to kill the Order. Or, not kill the Order. I have to kill We killed Kryn. Didn't we? That's who was beheaded in Estricus. But it doesn't feel like that evil is over. It should have felt better. Right? We all felt it when we left. So everybody was twisted up and mad for days. So I'm here till the evil's gone. And maybe I can stay longer. I don't know. Maybe I can bargain my way out of it. But hey, even if I don't, even if I have to go away, you get to live. And maybe we can bring Rakesh back. I'm gonna try. Because I don't think I can do it without both of you. Iridir, he taught me a song. I'm not gonna sing. I was singing it earlier.
I heard a bit of it.
It ends with, "There were ripples in the water. I saw them when you were young." Iridir always told me that, when you throw a stone into a pond, or like into a puddle, it disrupts everything there, because it's a big heavy thing dropping into something it can change. The larger the body of water, the harder it is to change it. So you need a bigger rock. Iridir is really powerful. I want you to meet him one day. I want all of you to meet him one day. He's a good friend. But if I'm going to do what I'm going to do, then I need all of you to be a rock with me. Because if the evil is as great as he thinks it is, then even just me, or even just him, or even maybe all of us can make a difference.
Maybe.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Why?
Because I made you sad.
Don't worry, Blynn. I've been sad for a very long time. I'll be fine.
He will put his arm around you.
He kind of accepts it.
Alright. And, do you fall asleep?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. morning comes. Okay, you're gonna take a level of exhaustion.
Yeah.
So is Berman.
Yeah. At some point during that, I'm gonna climb down and just go to a part of the ship on the top deck and just kind of sit to myself.
Okay.
Probably close to sunrise.
Okay. Are you looking towards sunrise or away from it?
Towards.
Okay. So you're looking off the back of the ship, because it's rising behind you as you sail. And roll perception for me.
No. Fifteen.
Okay. So you notice, like, on the horizon, you notice just like a glint of, looks like silver. Like, it's way far off. It's real small. It's just like, it's almost like a star going below the horizon as it twinkles.
Okay.
But that's what you see.
A glint of silver?
Yeah.
Does it look like it? Can I tell? Is it like it's moving? Is it?
No, it just like it disappears behind the horizon line.
I don't like that. Okay.
So. All right.
All of you rise and wake. You've all slept peacefully through the night. The day is yours. What would you like to do?
Before we get going too far, I want to talk to Dindal.
Okay.
Hey. Hey, good morning.
Morning.
How are you hanging? I hate all of you.
I didn't even think of it until they said something.
Oh, gosh. How's it going?
Good. Yeah.
This is a lot. I'm guessing by, you know, your posture and stuff.
Yeah.
Are you doing okay?
I guess as well as can be expected. Yeah. There's a lot going on with us, and I'm trying to be someone that I'm not, in a way.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm not an adventurer, but I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be this brave person, and yesterday I realized that I'm kind of trying to be someone I'm not, and so I'm just trying to figure out how to be better than I am.
This wasn't what you were expecting when you were asked to go to this hidden library, is it?
No. Did not expect, I thought this would just be like a get on a boat, get there, and read some books, you know? Didn't expect to have my family attacked, to meet sphinxes and all kinds of crazy creatures, and get tied up in a war between gods and other beasts and creatures, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I also noticed you're really awkward around kids.
Yeah, I...
But you're a teacher.
Yeah, college students.
Did you, like, never go to the local school? And...
I didn't really...
He was homeschooled.
...get along
with
kids.
He didn't teach at elementary schools.
You don't get along with kids?
No, I didn't. So... When my dad died, we went back to Thorncall. And I was kind of shunned. So I never really developed a lot of that camaraderie and friendship and social skills that other kids do by playing with other kids, because I was a half-elf, and most of the other full-blooded elf kids were not allowed to play with me. So... I read books and studied and did other things. I think it wasn't until Graylee was born that I had a friend.
But you do great with her.
Yeah. I don't see her as a kid, though. I see her as my sister. You know, there's... I mean, my stepdad kind of tried to keep me away from her, too, but... We played when we could.
Okay. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Oh, no, it's fine. He kind of like rolls his eyes like, oh, I'm like, it's no big deal.
Well, maybe you'll get some practice in with kids.
His like eyes get kind of big.
They're not that bad.
Yeah. No, Nevi's she's pretty cool. There's always
but
sticky.
Is she really a kid?
I mean, she mentally is at this exact moment, but
yeah,
that's something else completely. I don't know.
Come on, you know you wish you could immediately go to all your fancy books and start looking up about this, right?
Yeah, I was just waiting for Galen to leave before I did that.
Dump out all your books.
Absolutely. I was just waiting for him to move. And
I don't think this boat is big enough for all your books.
Yep.
No boat is big enough for all of his books.
But I am sorry about what I did yesterday. I have a hard time thinking of the we and not just the me. You know what? Does that make sense? I don't think the way you and Galen do, in the sense of, oh, that thing might try and kill us. That's not my world. I've been an academic for so long that I sometimes have to forget that, like, there are dangerous things that are after us, and, you know, then you put a book in front of me and I lose all sense of what is right or wrong or good or bad, you know. And but I am sorry I did that. I'll try and be better about, like, thinking of the team.
Yeah, I mean, you might be a pain sometimes, but we need you around.
Thanks. I do appreciate you guys. I know. I mean, I owe you guys a ton. Well, you guys helped me save my mom and sister, and for that, I'm eternally grateful. So, I'm sorry I didn't return the favor, you know, but I'm gonna try and be better.
You're learning. See how you can, you're growing in this way, and now the next little bit you can grow in how to play with kids. Actually, you know what? You know what would be really great? I think I got a really great starting point.
Okay.
Do you have any books that just tell, like, classic stories?
Oh, I've known tons of stories. That's...
Well, how about you tell these kids stories? Okay. You could sit down in front of them and they can all sit around you and you can just tell stories to these kids. They would love it.
Okay. I can probably do that. It's kind of what I did at school, just in a more professional setting.
Yeah, you know? So make the stories fun.
Okay.
And we'll get these little kids to love you. It's easy.
Okay. That's interesting.
I'll go. We'll get it going. It'll be great.
Okay.
Let's go eat.
All right, cool.
All right. See you two. And Lyra is with you.
Mm-hmm.
Going to find something to eat. Where on the Lament, you kind of, everybody kind of ate on deck. This has more of a actual, like, small galley. You notice as you walk in that there are two monks that have been assigned to help the children. So they're sitting at these tables with them that normally would fit, you know, five or six grown adults, and they've got nine kids at one and nine kids, or, you know, six kids at one and six kids at the other. Because I said there's 18 kids.
I think 16 kids.
16 including...
Plus, there were 16 kids, 17 with Navy, and 18 was...
Nyander.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's 8 kids at one table, 8 kids at another. There's another table where you see Sekizen is eating, and Mykos and Nyander are eating. When the three of you walk in, because we'll find out what Galen and Navy are up to in a minute. Let's say, for all intents and purposes, they're still asleep. Be cool with that?
Well, I don't sleep, but...
Oh, okay.
That's true.
Fair. Navy is still asleep.
I'm hanging with her until she...
Okay.
...gets up.
Okay. So, the three of you walk in, and Mykos will wave you over. And, they say, please, there are open seats here. Breakfast is simple. Porridge, oats, fruit. There's tea and beer.
This looks wonderful, thank you.
You're welcome. Please, sit. Do you have any questions?
Do you have... Dindel kind of like looks into his porridge and is just like eating, not making eye contact with Mykos.
Well, I feel like last night went well.
Yes. Last night had the potential to be very dangerous. And you all have helped immensely. We owe you a debt of gratitude. Thank you.
Of course. How long did you say this trip is going to take?
About a week. But we should be there. Okay. We should be there quickly. Once we get to the reef, we will have to skirt around, which may add about half a day, but if we're lucky and catch some good winds behind us, maybe we can shave that off.
And once we get there, is there anything we need to worry about there?
Well, where we're going to land on the island, because according to the reports that we have, the mayor of the main kind of fishing village, a place called Walnut Hollow, they've put a blockade up. They're kind of the cultural hub of the island outside of the monastery, which we just exist there. Mm-hmm. We've been there for years. And so we exist independent of them. Typically, if we come into port, we will pay them a hefty fine, but because he is blockading us, or blockading any foreign travel, according to the word that we got, we'll have to land on the uninhabited side of the island. So it will be a trek through the jungle.
How long?
60 miles inland, and then we start the trek up the mountain.
Wow, that's...
It's, yeah. So...
And what kind of supplies do we have on the ship to make a trip like that?
Oh, we have enough. If you'd like, after breakfast, I'll show you the stores.
Okay. Are all these children in good health to make this trip?
They should be. Don't know that we have anyone on board with medical... do any of your folks have any medical training?
You're looking at her.
Okay. Yeah, feel free to examine the children as...
Okay.
They seem to be in relative good health, but...
But a 60-mile trip.
Yeah,
it's going to be hard on everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. These trips are never without their dangers. But this is... the best we have for now.
Is this the first time you guys have had to make it this specific trip because of this blockade? Or
it's been a long time. Yeah.
Okay. So there's not like a specific path that we can just hop on and walk straight to the mountain, right?
There are small remote villages that we may be able to land near.
Okay.
But the main population is on the eastern side of the island. With the blockade, we'll have to land on the western side.
So, do you have a good relationship with these villages?
Relatively. We have to trade with them.
Okay.
Mostly food. We have pretty extensive gardens and pretty extensive agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Higher up on the mountain. Something that we've cultivated for years. And so we do have the advantage in trading, where they provide things like fish and other livestock to us. So it's a relatively good arrangement. Some villages don't want to deal with us, but the ones we do have good relationships with are even in tougher times are still open to trade.
Okay. And what kind of dangers are we going to be looking at when we get to the island and on this trip?
Mm-hmm. So the jungle we'll have to trek through is inhabited. Tigers probably the most dangerous. There are tigers and were-tigers, which those are not fun to deal with.
Would I have any idea what a were-tiger is?
Roll a history check.
11.
So you've heard of were creatures before? Mm-hmm. It's typically humanoids that can somehow shift into some kind of hybrid animal form. Not a ton in you know, in your culture.
Okay.
So tigers, were tigers, snakes, some poison plants.
Okay.
But we are typically pretty good at spotting those things, and where I'm hoping we'll be able to land, there is somewhat of a path. It's a dirt road, basically, that we've managed to wear down over the years, so that would make travel somewhat easier.
Okay.
Hopefully we don't have to go into the jungle as much.
If the inhabitants of Walnut Hollow have militarized, is there any reason to believe that these other villages might be apprehensive to us outsiders?
No, probably not. So the mayor of Walnut Hollow, he styles himself a king, or he likes to think of himself that way, just because it's the biggest place on the island, outside of the monastery. But no, honestly, most people are not a fan.
Okay.
But he has a royal edict, so he has the power.
How hard is it going to be for us to avoid the blockade and get to Tomoke? Is this like full island, or is it purely on their port?
It's probably just on their port. Okay. The main, so years ago, to establish trade with the island, there were actually dwarven ships that were built with giant steel or metal wedges in the front of the ship, and they broke through the coral reef to allow passage in and out, because it was a ship graveyard. Nobody could get close to the island, and so they broke the reef there, and then kind of this there's a smaller secondary entrance, as it were, on the back side of the island. Backside of the island, it's the windward side of the island, so it's a harsher environment, better just for a few small fishing villages. So I know we can't make the main one, but I can skirt around the ships. This boat is fast enough that I can outrun them. I was a pirate before. Became a monk. So I'm very, 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 very good at running blockades. And I have magic on my side, so.
Interesting. You're a pirate. I know some pirates.
Same ones I know?
I have no idea. DM.
Yeah.
Would I know anything about the... I'm sorry, I'm looking at the map up there. Like, is this island cold too? Because we're pretty far north. Oh, thank you.
So, the northern half of the island, yes, is colder.
Okay.
The southern half is moderate. Think Alaska, Seattle, Western Canada. So that kind of forest, rocky landscape.
Okay.
Just tweaked it.
All right.
Meg is 100% eating tortellini at the table.
I'm listening.
Looking around at the kids, do they seem like dressed like they're going to be okay for this?
Yeah. They're well outfitted.
Okay. All right.
They all seem to have, like, sturdy boots.
And what is... I don't know if we talked about this. You know, are these humans, elves? Did we talk about this and I'm just forgetting?
No.
Okay.
It's mostly human.
Okay.
This is a mostly human, or Akranis is a mostly human town.
Mm-hmm.
You notice two half-elven kids. Not twins. That's copyright. I can't get into that. I wish, though. Yeah, there's two half-elven twins. There is one small dwarven boy. But the rest are human or half-elf.
And what ages are we looking at?
So Nevi seems to be the youngest.
Okay.
At about 9. The oldest is about 16.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's... They're not like babies.
Okay. All right, so we've got quite the trip ahead of us.
Do we want to run the medical exam real quick and make sure we don't have any kids we need to help out or
yeah
or anything like that? I can take notes for you if you need or
yeah. So anything after breakfast, if you can just start. Is there a place that I could talk to the kids or?
Yeah, so that the main hold
mm-hmm.
Where you were, where you saw the kids sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
We can move the hammocks, and I can bring a table. Bring a table move there.
Great.
Do you need privacy with the kids, or?
I mean, it'd be kind of great, unless, Dindal, can you take care of that, or?
I could do the hut again, if you want to do the hut.
And then they could just come in?
Yeah,
and...
that way there's... We save space, and you don't have to take all the hammocks down, and
okay,
that could work.
So instead, they could just come to our room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm glad I named all the kids.
We don't have to do it. We don't have to do it in.
We can do a couple. Okay. Just for funsies.
Okay. You absolutely have to name it. Talk about every single one of them, and they each sound different. Go.
I will 16 not be, voices.
I will not be doing voices. Hold on. One, two.
That's a different podcast. That's Will Friedle and Christy Crosser Romano.
Yeah.
Wait, does that mean you know which ones die off?
He has a
you
list.
Are a monster.
Those are the ones that are named.
No, what he does is he has have them all in numbers, and he rolls a dice. So
you die today, number 4.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, 7. Make
the
cut.
That's their name. It's just 7.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so we're going Divergent.
Like, yeah.
It's like, 4. I was going to say, it's like Codename Kids Next Door. Just
I love that show.
Okay.
That show was great.
We're just an iCarly podcast.
I've never seen that show.
It's so good.
That show is so fun.
Spencer is the best.
While y'all are having breakfast,
mm-hmm.
Galen, you were in the room with Nevi. Nevi, she wakes up like in a start. She goes, "I smell breakfast."
I just thought that was gonna go somewhere else. I thought she was gonna go dragon mode or something.
I thought she was gonna talk about dolphins.
Galen?
Yes?
Do you have breakfast?
I hold up my hands. Like, which hand do you think breakfast is in? I hold them up as fists.
Both of them.
Wrong.
Oh.
But if you want breakfast, we can go get breakfast.
Yes. I hate when I'm wrong.
Older you get, the more used to it you get.
Doesn't seem like a very fun way of getting old.
It's not. It's accurate, but it's not fun.
Doing all this stupid.
I agree. 100%.
Well, where's breakfast?
I believe they have a galley.
What is a galley?
It's like a kitchen.
Oh.
It's a little place to eat.
Okay.
And that's where they make the food on most ships.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, let's go.
Okay.
You lead the way.
All right, I grab her hand and we head towards the galley.
Okay. So you make it to the galley as most of the kids are done eating. They're filing out, and a couple of them wave, say hi. Are you three still there?
Mm-hmm. I'm.
Okay. So you see Kathra, Lyra, and Dindal. Or Amber, Lyra, and Dindal. Sorry, DM habit. For you three, Mykos and Sekizen have left. So, Galen, you're free to join them. Okay. So you join them, and one of the cooks will bring out a bowl of oatmeal and a bowl of fruit and some milk that they have on board. Navy's like, "Ooh, what's the white stuff?"
It's milk.
And she picks it up. Nope, I don't like it. Have water, please.
Probably. Can you make water? Or...
No. I can't make liquid.
I mean, fruit has juice in it.
Yeah, but it's fruit.
That's sound logic.
Smart. I'm very sound.
You're very sound.
You make a lot of sound.
So?
I make a lot of sound.
Yeah, when you snore.
I don't actually sleep, so...
You're still snoring.
So what's your excuse?
I was gassy last night.
Oh, that's what that was.
A dome.
You weren't there. You're good.
No. The idea of that shit awful.
Talk about a hotboxing.
Yeah, that was...
Your stoner wizards just making a Liebman's tiny hut, just, like big old ball just.
That's the podcast I want.
You get secondhand high so quickly. You step in, you're like, all right, I'm good.
So another monk will bring out some water when they hear maybe you want water. What would you like to do? You just eat breakfast?
I mean, yeah. Okay. Galen's hungry. Okay. Can eat breakfast.
Okay. So about 10 minutes after Nevi and Galen join you, one of the monks, you've not learned any of their names yet, but one of the monks comes in and says, ma'am, the children are ready if you want to start seeing them.
Sounds great. We're going to go downstairs or down. Yeah, right down.
Yeah.
Okay. They can just come in one by one.
Okay. Yeah, we will send them your way. So you make it down and you'll have to recast Lehman's, mm-hmm. right? Okay. So the first kid after about 5 or 10 minutes shows up. And brown skin girl, kind of shoulder length, black hair, dark brown, like almond shaped eyes. She says, "Hello."
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, are you scared?
A little bit.
Don't be scared. My name's Amber.
She like, sorry, I'm cold. Hi, Amber. I'm Kiara.
Hi, Kiara. This is Dindal.
Hi, Dindal.
Hi. We are just gonna make sure everything's okay and you're good and healthy. She's a...
kind of like a doctor.
She's kind of like a doctor, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just her assistant, so I'm just gonna take notes.
Okay.
Do you know he's a teacher?
What do you teach?
I teach...
Grown-ups.
Adults.
I teach a class where I tell stories and history and stuff like that.
Oh, stories.
Yeah, I know lots of stories.
I think he's going to tell some stories later.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I like stories. Those are fun.
Yeah.
Do I need to do anything?
No. So I'm just going to ask you some questions and we're going to Just, it'll be super easy.
Okay.
So how old are you?
And she starts counting off. 12, I think.
12. That's awesome. And are you hurting anywhere, or is anything bothering you?
She's like, well, I... And she kind of lifts her, the right leg of her pant. And you notice that her right foot is kind of turned inwards. She's like, I fell and broke my ankle a couple of years ago, and it, I don't know that it ever healed, right?
Ooh. Is it causing you problems when you walk, or does it hurt?
I'm just a little slow. So.
I'm gonna, you know, just feel it and...
Yeah. So you feel her ankle, and you can feel that the bone didn't heal correctly. So roll a medicine check with advantage.
Okay. 17?
Yeah. So you know from your training, you know how you would fix this, because she is a child. You might want to ask, you know enough that you might want to ask the monks in charge before you do something.
Mm-hmm.
But you do mention it to Dindal, and he makes a note of it.
Okay.
Other than that, she reports that she is fine.
All right. Well, if you ever feel sick, have you been on a boat before?
No.
Okay. So if you ever get sick because it's going to rock back and forth and back and forth, you can come see me and we can see if we can give you something to make you feel better. But spend lots of time looking at the ocean and in the fresh air.
Okay.
And then later, we'll listen to some stories by Dindal.
She tries to hide her excitement. Thanks.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
No, you're nice.
Thank you. Thanks,
Amber. I thought you were talking to Dindal.
Yeah, so I was literally about to answer. I was like a second behind. He was like, oh. she's talking to the kid.
Total Dindal.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. So, we'll do two more.
Okay. All right.
So, about the sixth or seventh kid you see,
mm-hmm.
This boy walks in, and his hair is real raggedy. You noticed him last night, in the city. He just kind of seems like he's the type to refuse a bath.
Nope. Okay.
Big Ben.
Kind of, and he's like, hey. Hi.
Hi.
I said I had to come.
Yes. What's your name?
My name's Kotz.
Kotz. Hey, I'm Amber.
Hi, Amber.
Oh, you're one of those.
Okay, so?
That's fine. I'm like that too at times.
Cool.
All right, how old are you?
I don't do math.
How old does he look?
He's about 14.
Okay.
He smells like a 14-year-old.
Oh, gotcha. I have 14-year-olds. Well, not anymore. She's 15. But I understand completely. All right. So all we're going to do, I just want to make sure you're healthy.
Okay.
And to you too.
Do I have to eat vegetables?
Yeah, because everyone does.
Why? That's gross. You're gross. He kind of is. He's awesome.
Oh, okay. All right. So we've got a long trip. Anything bugging you? Do you hurt anywhere?
He thinks for a minute. He's like, I got a tooth that's weird.
Okay, let me see.
He opens his mouth. So when he opens his mouth, you immediately can tell that he's had his jaw broken before and it didn't heal well, so he's like a little slack jawed or like it's kind of cockeyed.
Mm-hmm.
But you can pretty quickly put together like he's got some teeth that are bad and they just need to come out.
Okay. I don't want to do that on the ship either. We're going to make note of that too.
Bad teeth.
There's some things even I can't heal. So you're one of our, you know, older ones.
Yeah.
You know that that means, like, the little ones look up to you.
Okay. Well, I mean, I've been looked down on my whole life.
Yeah, but
I don't know what that means.
That means that they're going to follow you.
Oh.
It's not a bad thing.
I mean, I know how to punch stuff.
Okay, well, don't punch any little kids.
But if anything comes after the little guys.
Yes, but if anything.
Use those fists, okay?
Yeah. Okay. We're going to have a long trip. Okay. And we're going to need you to help.
Okay. He's kind of like, fine, sure, whatever. And he's like, he's like, can you heal this? And he lifts his shirt. There's a stab wound.
Oh, God.
Oh. How old does it look?
The bandaging looks pretty rough.
Is that the source of the smell?
Oh, jeez. Oh,
okay. That's a much bigger problem. I'm going to take the bandaging off.
It is very infected.
Oh, okay.
It's not a deep wound, but it's like shallow, but it's a long cut.
Why? Did you tell anyone about this?
No, I thought they wouldn't take me.
No.
So I just like hit it.
That has to hurt a lot.
Yeah. It's not great.
Okay, I'm gonna put my hand on it, okay?
Okay, it's your hand.
Okay, I'm gonna put my hand on it.
Okay.
And I'm gonna pump a cure wounds.
Okay. So you pump a cure wounds and...
From my mark.
Okay. So you notice that the wound closes up and that any sign of infection goes away.
Okay.
He goes, wow. It's the first time in a week, so that's not hurt.
Cool. Okay. Also, if you know of any other kids that have stuff like that, make sure you come to me right away. That could be really serious.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Can I, like, go now?
Yes, you can go now.
Thanks, Chief.
Oh, gosh.
I'm gonna, like, go like this and, like, finger guns at him. I'm gonna do prestidigitation so they kind of spark when I do them. Good job, bud.
I thought you were going to clean him off with prestidigitation.
I almost did before, but I don't think I can clean a whole human. I'm not okay. Sure. It says I can only clean like a cubic foot of space.
I mean, a human is about a cubic foot.
Okay.
So
I go to clean him if I realize that.
He goes, hey, it's my hair, man. And like the beginning of his dreadlocks fall out.
Well.
So now he's bald. Cool.
That was not me.
Thanks. I tried to help. That didn't go that poorly.
It's okay. All right. Before the next kid comes in, I'm going to look at Dindal. How many kids is that have had, like, broken bones or...
Just about every one of them.
All of them?
That's what I thought.
They're probably kids that are getting out of, like, pretty bad situations.
Yeah.
These are kids off the street, so who knows what these kids have been through.
Most of them are really sweet, even though they've been through terrible things. The last kid's kind of a punk, but he's also a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Have we already have has the dwarven kid and the half-elves come through yet?
No.
Okay.
So you go through, and the last three are the dwarven boy and the two half-elven twins.
Okay.
So we'll start with the dwarven boy.
All right.
He pokes his head around the corner, is a hello.
Hi, come on in.
And he comes around, and he his head is shaved. It's you can tell there's a couple of days worth of like fiery red stubble on his head. He's got a big kind of bulbous nose. And he looked very prototypical dwarf.
Okay.
He's like, hi.
Hi.
I'm Finn.
Hi, Finn. I'm Amber.
Amber, good to meet you.
Good to meet you. Not many of us around here, are there?
And he will reply in Dwarvish, and he says, no, there is not. I'm one of a kind.
As am I. I reply in Dwarvish. We're going to keep going in Dwarvish. Just, do you know Dwarvish?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh darn it. That'd have been fun if you didn't. how old are you?
I'm, 17, actually.
Okay.
I told him I was 15, but I'm 17.
Hey, I'm not gonna tell.
Thanks.
So basically, all I'm gonna do, we're just gonna make sure you're super healthy. We've got quite the trip coming up, so.
Okay.
Where are you from?
I don't know, to be honest.
All over?
Well, more my dad was a soldier. My mom died. I got left here.
Oh, what's your dad's name?
Karnan.
I see. You said your mom died?
Yeah.
Guess what? My dad was a soldier and my mom died too. So, I get it.
We really are one of a kind.
Yep. Anything bothering you?
Got an earache. I got... A couple days before I got picked up by the monks, I got in a fight with some kids. I got hit in the head real hard. But I think... And he turns and you can see there's a little bit of like just dried blood in his ear. He's like, it's kind of hard to hear out of this ear, out of his left ear. So,
does your head hurt or your neck hurt or just your ear?
No, just the ear. And he holds his hand out and you can see his fingers are bandaged and his fingers are pretty beaten up. And he's saying, I would, you know, I could earn a little bit of money punching. So, this thumb is broken and, most of the fingers in this hand are broken.
Okay. Well, you're probably the oldest one here that we've got on the ship.
Yeah, probably.
So, and we've got quite the trip and who knows when we might need you. You said this was just a few days ago, your fingers?
Yeah. I didn't have much, but I was able to bandage them a little bit.
Let me see them.
Enough they won't move.
Let me see them. I'm going to unbandage them.
Okay. And they're broken and swollen.
All right. I'm going to
pump
another cure wounds.
All right. So you were able to fix his broken fingers.
How does that feel?
And he kind of, like, moves them back and forth. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So what are your plans now? Like, just going to go to the monastery and...
I think so. It's a better lot than I had before.
Yeah.
It's better than fighting in the streets.
Yeah. Well, when we're on this trip, help us look out. You obviously can take care of yourself, but help us protect these younger ones too, okay?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
Do, by any chance, I've always wanted one, but I've never had enough money for one. You would have a hammer? I know, dwarves, hammers, right?
Believe me, I know. I'm gonna take out... I'm going to go over to my stuff and not my big hammer,
right,
but just one of my,
give him the one that Thor gave you.
not that one. That's mine. I've just got like a, you know, smaller backup hammer.
Are you sure it's a good idea to give a weapon to a child?
I'm not a child.
Can I have sending?
Oh, sending. Oh,
yeah.
Sending to me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. We'll see what happens.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Might be a terrible idea, but.
Thanks. This is cool.
Don't break anything with it.
I won't.
All right. If you need anything, you know where to find me. Okay. We aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
We'll be with you the entire way until we get to the monastery.
Oh, cool. Maybe, he's like, Kent, where we're from. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Never seen it.
You want to hear some stories sometime?
Yeah.
I will tell you some stories.
Okay. And he leaves. He's pretty happy. I like him. And finally, around the corner, there's two heads. Little boy, or a boy and a girl. The girl is blonde. Her hair hangs down quite far. But it's braided to one side. The boy, his hair is brown. They're not identical twins.
Mm-hmm.
But she vocalizes. She says, excuse me, I think we're supposed to see you now.
Yeah, you can both come in.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, I'm Amber.
So the girl answers first. She says, hi, my name is Amin.
Hi.
This is my brother, Owen.
Hi, Owen.
He just waves. She says, he nonverbal, doesn't talk.
Oh, that's completely okay.
And, he turns to her, and you remember seeing Dindal sign to his sister?
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a sign for Dino. You catch this, but he asks, "Can I sit?"
So I'll sign back to him and say, "Of course you can."
And his face lights up. So he goes and he sits on the table. And she says, "What? Do you need to?" Know anything or?
Well, I'm actually gonna let Dindal talk to your brother first.
So I'll.
I'm gonna look at you and just go, you can do it.
So I'll sign to Owen. We just need to ask you a few questions.
And he kind of nods his head, like, okay.
Alright, so, and I'll kind of like gesture to Amber, be like, alright, so the first question, and I'll sign to him. Are you feeling okay? Do you have anything that hurts?
And he kind of looks at his sister, then he looks back at you, and he signs, or he like puts his hand over his heart, and he kind of rubs right there.
So I'll sign to him. Were you hurt, or is it on the inside?
He kind of. So you see him. He'll lift his tunic up. And you see there's a big bruise on his chest, like he was kicked in the chest. You make out a horse, like a horse's hoof. Like he was kicked by a horse.
Oh my.
Dindal, can you ask him if it's okay if I feel his chest?
Yeah. So I'll sign, she is actually a healer. Would you mind if she touched your chest to inspect for any injuries?
He'll nod his head. Okay.
So I'm gonna, like, does he have broken ribs? Is it?
Yeah, you can pretty clearly tell he's got two broken ribs. You notice his breathing is a little shallow. might be a punctured lung.
And I'm going to smile, and then it's just going to get really warm on his chest as I put the cure wounds in.
Okay, so as you heal him, and you heal him, but you see this like look on his face, and he opens his mouth, and it's as much of a scream as he can make, because it's a sensation he's never experienced before. You see me kind of like deep breaths for the first time in probably a couple of days.
I'll sign to him and decide. Does that feel better?
He nods. Yes.
Good. Is there anything else?
Anything else that's not feeling right or that's been hurting?
And he looks at Amen. And he signs something, and you're not sure what he's asking. It's outside of your wheelhouse of signs that you would make to Grayley. Amon says, he says there's a burn that he doesn't know if it can get healed.
On her?
No, on him.
She's a really good healer. She might be able to do something about it. So would you mind letting us inspect it?
So she will sign back to him, and he lifts both of his sleeves, and you can tell that there are burn marks on his wrists. Like he carried something hot. These are old scars. Enough that they've healed over. The skin is kind of tightened. You can see where like he's going through a growth spurt, and so that burn is stretched, and it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
Looks painful.
I actually don't think I can help with that.
Okay. So I'll sign to him and tell him. I don't think we can do anything about those burn marks. But if you have any other wounds that have been recently or are still fresh, we can probably heal those. Those just might take some time to, as you grow, they might just need to be kind of weathered.
I'll reach in and out of my medicine pack and just grab kind of a cream or a salve.
Yeah.
And, hand it to him. You can tell him this might help a little bit.
Oh, okay. So I'll hand him this. I'll say... if it gets really bad, you can try some of this. This salve might help.
And he just says, thank you.
I'll send back, of course.
And he turns and he asks his sister, he says, do you still need... He asks her, do you still need me? She will say no. And he'll ask you, is it okay to leave?
Yeah. Is it okay if he leaves?
Yeah, how old was he? How old are you guys?
Amon says, 15.
Alright.
Owen will leave, and it's Amon that's left.
Hey, how are you?
I'm better.
Okay.
I have to watch out for him.
Yeah, good big sister.
Mm. Yeah. Don't tell him that, though.
Which one of you is older?
Me.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I think so.
What happened? How?
We had a job in a stable, and a mule kicked in. It was a couple days before the monks got us, he was laid up for a couple of days, couldn't move really. He was scared he was gonna die.
Mm.
But it... could have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell she's relieved.
Mm-hmm.
She says it could have been a lot worse. But thank you.
Mm-hmm. Where are you guys from?
Well... We... grew up in Thorncall. but I say grew up. We were there for a couple of years, enough to know that that's where we were from. But then our dad came here. Our mom died after we were born, so we came here and we woke up and Dad was gone. Not sure what happened to him.
How long have you been on your own?
3 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah. It was hard early on, but we got used to it. We got better.
Well, now it looks like we're headed to a much better place for you.
I hope so.
We've got a little bit of a journey, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
But you're good? Nothing hurts?
No, nothing hurts. Outside of... And she kind of looks at him and she says, can I... alone?
Oh, wait. You can't leave.
Oh.
The hut.
I will go and I'll, like, draw a curtain and kind of, like, hide behind it.
Okay.
He can't leave or this room disappears.
Oh.
I know. It's weird.
Okay. Well, she's like, well, things are normal.
Gotcha.
You know. But I am, she says, I don't know if my brain is right.
What do you mean?
I get really sad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Some days I can't get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know our situation sucks, but I know people have it worse.
Just because people have it worse doesn't mean you have it bad. You don't have it bad.
Yeah. But I don't know. My dad was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't tell Owen this, but I think Dad might have died.
Oh.
I think he was... I don't know that he knew how to deal with himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we scared him a little bit.
Well, first of all, it's not that your brain doesn't work right. Your brain just works differently.
Okay.
And would I know anything about something like depression?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You would have seen it with your soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
You would have... So, in the dwarven hospitals and stuff,
mm-hmm.
there would have been patients dealing with it. So you would have seen it enough to recognize it.
Okay. So sometimes it helps to talk about it. Okay. And sometimes it's good to just make sure that other people know that you do get sad sometimes.
Okay.
So just make sure to keep talking and come talk to me.
Yeah.
And we'll figure it out, okay?
Okay.
But don't worry. You're not weird. You're not crazy.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to learn how to, like, fight and stuff? That seems cool.
You want to fight?
I mean, I've been hit enough times, I know I don't like being hit.
No. Oh.
But if I can hit back, that's great. It's cool.
Hit back or just avoid getting hit?
Yeah, I'm fast.
Oh, you are? Okay.
That's why Owen got kicked by the mule and not me.
Oh, got it. All right. So maybe later this afternoon, Dindal's going to be telling some stories. But maybe tomorrow, maybe we'll get some classes together and just go over some basic self-defense and stuff.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. Believe me, between me and there's another guy named Galen and another one named Bracken and there's Lyra, we can teach you a lot, so.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, so we'll do that tomorrow. But okay. Today, do you like stories? Do you like to learn history?
Sure. I never got to go to school.
Well, Dindal's a teacher, so I'll teach you guys some stuff today.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you, Amber. Mm-hmm. So she'll, like, kind of leave awkwardly. Not really sure what to do with herself.
After she leaves, well, look at Dindal.
I'm still behind the curtain.
You can still hear.
Can I come out?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. This is a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. We're going to be traveling through a jungle and up a mountain with a bunch of these kids.
And they've been through so much.
They've been through a lot. So we have our work cut out for us.
So today you're going to do story time, and I guess tomorrow I'm teaching self-defense.
Awesome.
You probably could use that class too, let's be honest.
Sure could, yeah.
Knives for first graders.
Yep.
That's
knives for dummies.
Yeah. I don't know that we should give them weapons, but I think if we just...
I mean, you already did give
well,
one
I gave
weapon,
one.
So,
I gave,
come on.
I gave one a hammer, and it wasn't even that big of a hammer. It was like the hand... I mean, yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
I'll like accidentally pull out the dagger will just kind of be in my hand. I'll be like, maybe I can get him one of these.
No, you... Okay.
I can't physically. You know I can't get rid of it. I'm just... I was being sarcastic.
We still need to teach you how to actually hold that thing, though.
Sorry.
And we got to figure out how to get rid of it. Let's be honest. That can't be good.
Probably not. It's probably eating my soul.
It's what?
I don't know. Just from stories and stuff.
Casual. Oh. Have you, like, researched it more?
Exactly. I haven't had a lot of time to between the rune book and all the other stuff we've been doing.
Okay, well, that's probably pretty important to do.
Probably.
So maybe after story time and after you research, what else were you supposed to research today?
I was going to look through my books and see if I got anything good.
Yep. Yeah.
See if you got anything on Tumblr. Okay.
Yeah. Asking that was really bad yesterday.
That was interesting. That,
mm-hmm.
like, automaton blew up.
Yeah. That wasn't good.
Calculating. Calculating.
Never trust a robot.
All right, well.
All right, Doc. Let's go.
Yep.
Well, I guess I got the hut for a few more minutes, so I'll stay in here and I'll start figuring out my books. Look through those, was it 15 or 20 that I got?
20.
It was 20? Okay. So I'll go through those.
Okay.
At some point.
Okay. So, we're going to end the episode there, and we will pick back up with Dindal examining his books. So, that'll do it for this week's episode of A Crack in the Plan. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. This has been a Pale Horse Companion production. All episodes are recorded in Columbia, Tennessee. Our producer and editor is Jordan Wilhite. Our assistant editors are Meg Sandella, Danny Valencia, Angie Brady, and Daniel Brady. Artwork for this production has been generously provided by Isaac Kierstead.